Went to prepare ourselves a little farther, sort ourselves, be instructed again in the Lord's Supper that we're about to celebrate. We're going to use those words from our formulary on page 151. Yes, beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the night in which he was delivered up to be crucified, the Lord Jesus instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion, saying, "This do in remembrance of me." In obedience to that command, we now celebrate this memorial feast. We therefore bid all of you who have confessed your Lord and who have truly examined yourselves according to the admonition of the Apostle Paul to come in contriteness of heart and assurance of faith, to commune with Christ in the partaking of this Holy Supper. As we now draw near, let us consider for what purpose the Lord has instituted his supper, namely that we should keep it in remembrance of him, and that he by this sacrament should nourish and refresh us unto eternal life. To observe this Holy Supper in remembrance of him is to proclaim our Lord's death until he comes again. What we just said, huh? In partaking of this supper, therefore, we remember that our Lord Jesus is the Savior, promised to the fathers in the Old Testament, that he is the eternal and only begotten Son of God, that he assumed our human nature, in which he fulfilled for us all obedience and the righteousness of God's law, and that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. We remember that he was bound, that we might be loosed from our sins. That he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. That he became a curse for us to fill us with his blessing. And that he humbled himself on the cross to hell's deep agony, which wrung from him the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That God might never forsake us. We remember also that he was buried to sanctify the grave for us, and that he was raised for our justification, and that he is exalted at God's right hand, and that he shall come again to judge the living and the dead. And we remember that the shedding of his blood has confirmed for us the new and eternal testament, the covenant of grace. We thus commemorate the death of Jesus Christ. We are assured that he'll truly nourish and refresh us with his crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. And this he promises in the institution of the supper, saying of the bread, "This is my body," and of the wine, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many unto remission of sins." With these words, our Lord directs our faith to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as the only ground of our salvation. He also assures us that he by his death has taken away our sin, the cause of our eternal death, and has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit. By the Spirit who dwells in Christ, is in the head, and in us as members, he brings us into true communion with himself and makes us partakers of all his riches, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. By the same Spirit, he causes us together with all true believers to be united as members of one body in true brotherly love. As the Holy Apostle says, "Seeing that we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And inasmuch as it's said to us, as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come," we are assured by this Holy Supper that our Lord Jesus will come again to receive us to himself, and that we shall sit down with him and drink with him the fruit of the vine in the newness of our Father's kingdom. That we may now obtain these blessings, let us implore God for his grace. Let's pray together. Merciful God and Father, whose grace abounds beyond all our sins, we pray thee that in this supper in which we commemorate the death of your dear Son, you'll so work in our hearts that we may yield ourselves ever more fully to Jesus Christ. May our contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood. Yes, with him, true God and man, the only heavenly bread, so that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him. So confirm us in the covenant of grace, we pray, that we may not doubt that you will forever be our gracious Father, never more imputing our sins to us, never counting them against us, and abundantly providing us with all things necessary for body and soul as your dear children and heirs. Grant us your grace that we may cheerfully take up our cross, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all temptations and trials expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, who at his coming will make our mortal bodies like his glorified body and take us to himself in eternity. Answer us, O God and merciful Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit belong all praise and adoration now and evermore. Amen. Let's take a moment to sing out of our hymnals, number 376. And after we sing, O Christ, our hope, our heart's desire, we'll stay standing and then we'll recite the Apostles' Creed together, okay? 376, as we get the elements prepared. We now come to the table of the Lord. Let us with heart and mouth confess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. We use the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. That we may be nourished with Christ, the true bread from heaven, let us lift up our hearts to Christ Jesus, our advocate at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. Let us firmly believe all his promises, not doubting that we shall be nourished and refreshed with his body and blood through the working of the Holy Spirit, as surely as we receive the bread and wine in remembrance of him. The bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. Jesus speaks in the Gospel of John in the 15th chapter, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you." Take and eat, remember and believe that the body of our Lord was given for a complete forgiveness of all our sins. The cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks is a communion of the blood of Christ. And as we remind each time during the communion supper, the inner circle is grape juice, the two outer circles are wine. Start here, Jack. Thank you. we've received the word, we've now received the sacrament, we respond with words from the scriptures as well in thanksgiving. It's a thanksgiving that shows forth in what we're going to recite, and also the prayers that we're going to be offering, and the cause of Christ as well as we give of our gifts. On page 153, we read of this introduction prior to this recitation that we'll all do. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now nourished our souls at his table, let us jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And let everyone say in his heart and with his mouth, bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Jehovah is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us after our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so Jehovah pitieth them that fear him. Bless Jehovah, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless Jehovah, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless Jehovah, all ye his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. Now unto him that sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb, be the blessing, and the honor, and the glory, and the dominion, forever and ever. Amen. About to go to prayer, we ask the deacons to come forward, because we're going to be not only praying in thanks, but giving in thanks right afterwards. As they're coming forward, can you remind me what the offering is for? For benevolence. Thank you very much. Deacons are coming forward. We're going to be giving our gifts to the cause of Christ, including the work of benevolence. Let's join together and pray then. O merciful God and Father, we thank Thee with all our hearts that in Your boundless grace You've given us Your only begotten Son as a mediator and sacrifice for our sins and as our food and drink of the life eternal. We thank You too that You've given us a true faith whereby we become partakers of these Your benefits. And since You have through Your Son, Jesus Christ, ordained the Holy Supper for the strengthening of that faith, we beseech You, O faithful Father, that through Your Holy Spirit, this remembrance of our Lord and proclamation of his death may truly increase our faith and enrich our fellowship with Christ. May this proclamation of our Lord's death also be used by you to bring others into this blessed fellowship so that all your children may be gathered in to share with us the joy of your salvation. Father, may you hear us in Jesus Christ for these things and also as the deacons pray for the causes of Christ.
Heavenly Father, we come before you now with faithful hearts. We ask your blessing upon these tithes and offerings we bring before you today. Pray your blessing now for the Benevolence Fund. We thank you that you have so blessed us with the ability as a family of believers to show Christ-like compassion for one another. We pray that you would continue to provide for all we stand in need of. We also pray that you would watch over your church here at Oak Glen, as well as the missions we support. We pray all these things would be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name alone.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. Amen.